And we just praise your holy name. Praise your holy name. Praise your holy name. Now, Lord, we know the days are short. We know we only have so much time, Lord, in which to do your will. We thank you for this season, Lord, during which we can prepare our hearts for the wonderful things that are at hand. We pray, Lord, that we will waste no time, no money, no strength. Waste nothing, Lord, but give ourselves wholly to the thing that you have called us to. Praise your name. Now help us tonight, Lord, as we push ahead, Lord, in the scriptures. Guide us. We can do nothing of ourselves. Forgive our many sins, we pray, as we forgive others, Lord, each one of us. Help us, Lord, to hear the voice of Jesus for ourselves, to follow the one true shepherd, Jesus Christ. Make him real to each one of us, Lord, that we may find green pastures and still waters. Help us tonight as we lift up his name, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. You may be seated. All right. Let's turn to Luke chapter 11, 5 through 10. Hank, if it stays cold, we'll need you to fix it. I've moved up a little bit. Shouldn't. It's almost 80, but must be coming out of the cooler in a bad way there. Luke 11, 5 through 10. Okay, here we go. Oh, we about all got it there. Okay. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is in his journey, is come to me, and I have set nothing before him. Good. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And I'd like to talk tonight a little bit about a balance. About a balance. It's really a simple idea. God's will plus prayer equals fulfillment. And action. God's will plus prayer equals fulfillment and action. And you can see from this model here, this equation, that if one or the other is lacking, the job is not done. If one or the other is lacking, the job is not done. If God's will is not present, then the job is not done. And if prayer is not present, the job is not done. And there's a balance here I'd like to stress tonight. Now, we'll look at Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Acts 3:19, it says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." And that word times means opportunities. Opportunities come from the presence of the Lord. They are sovereign. They're specific. They're like an epoch or an era of time, a season of opportunity. Seasons, plural, because there's more than one. And in verse 21, whom the heaven must receive until the times. Now this word in the Greek is different. It means chronological time. Until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets. Notice that they're both plural, that there's coming from heaven seasons of opportunity and specific times in which things are to be restored. Then we go over to Zechariah 10. Zechariah 10. And we find it in the first verse, ask of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. And the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field, which in an agricultural society was a tremendous blessing. It was saying, I'll give you blessing. But notice the balance here. You've got the time of the latter. He doesn't say, ask of the Lord rain here in the time when there's not supposed to be rain. And there's a former rain, which was a seed rain, a planting rain, which I believe was the book of Acts, a time when the gospel was sown and the kingdom of God was sown. Now we are in the days of the latter rain. I guess everybody with any spiritual inside at all says, yes, that's right, we're in the time of the latter rain. But what are we supposed to do? Ask. Now, this is so tricky because much of my preaching tends to be from God's sovereign perspective of what God is going to do. I said there's a great revival coming. The Spirit is saying there's a great revival coming. The Bible says there's a great revival coming. And I preached that a great deal, God's times. And I felt impressed with the Lord today. I think it was today or yesterday, sometime it crept into my spirit. Start pressing the other half. Because if it's a time of latter rain, and you don't pray, you won't get any latter rain. Right? You have to combine the two. And it's real work. Brian raised that issue. Now, what do we do in times when we kind of feel the let up and we have zeal? One of the most tremendous things that you can do in your zeal is to pray. Now, I haven't stressed it very much. I practice it myself, I think. It may be true that I practice it myself more than I preach it. Because I've learned, one of the few things I've learned about the Christian life is pray. Pray. If you want to do anything, pray. And I spend what time I can pray. I've been saying to the church I've been taking long walks because it's good for a person my age to take long walks. But I'll tell you what I do from one end of that walk to the other. I pray. People must think, there's an old bird. Look at the old guy mumbling to himself. A typical senior in a walk down mumbling. And I'm praying. I pray. That's the best time to pray, is to get and walk and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. I woke up last night at 2 o'clock in the morning, I guess it was. I tell secrets to myself. Pray, pray. I didn't pray all night, but I prayed a good part of the time. I was rested. I went to bed early. I don't lay there thinking, oh, I'm losing my sleep. I've got insomnia. It's a wonderful time to pray. And when you do, the Lord shows you stuff. But even though it's the season today for the restoration of all things, doctrine, revelation, power, gifts, none of those will come arbitrarily because you've only got half of the equation. And it's perfectly possible for you to spend the rest of your days from now till you die and never make one inch of progress in the Lord. It will not come arbitrarily. If you take away one half, you just have prayer, you know, your algebra, you have fulfillment minus God's will. It just works that way. It just will not work alone. It will not be dumped on your head like garbage out of a second story window in the Holy Land or something like that, wherever they do those things. It won't work. You only make the progress as you battle through in prayer. And I'm not talking about, you know, not laying me down to sleep, or dear Lord, bless this food. I'm talking about, in prayer, I'm telling you, it's just like weightlifting or any other skill. There's a part of your being that can pray. And when you first start off, it's extremely difficult. It's like when you haven't studied for many years and you go back to studying, you find out, I've been living in my emotions, I've been living intellectually. You find that out if you're away from school very long and you're not an academic pursuit. You say, well, I've been living in my emotions. It's so hard to concentrate. Well, prayer is that way. And you say, you go out of here and I say, boy, I'm going to pray. I'm going to get some of that good stuff. But you'll find it's very difficult to concentrate and say, boy, this is miserable. You know, I hope 5 minutes is going to be long enough. But as you practice it, there's some kind of a faculty in your personality that becomes strengthened and it begins to hunger. And that's where you get into some of these people that pray 4 hours a day and 7 hours a day. We all cannot do that, obviously. But that's how you're not born with that. You come into that through practice. It's a faculty that becomes strengthened so strong within you that it's like when you've been running a long time or something, somebody says run a race, you're ready to run because your body is so, oh boy, you know, I get to run because you're used to it. The same way it is with prayer. But many of God's people have never even experienced this and may never experience it. They think it's, you know, it's another way to spend Sunday evening. But it is an actual fact that you can strengthen that faculty of prayer until an hour is nothing. An hour is nothing. Some of these walks are an hour and a half or longer. It's nothing. The time, don't even realize the time is going by because you're just in that spirit of prayer and you pray an hour and it's nothing. And it's the only way. The stuff will not come arbitrarily. In Daniel, in the 12th chapter, if you Rotherham's especially good on this. It says in the 12th chapter, verse 4, but thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, because knowledge should be increased. And Amplified brings out the syntactical pattern there. What it's apparently talking about is the knowledge of the Scripture shall be increased in the time of the end. This is part of the latter rain. When you can find anything that is available in the end time, then we are here. We are in this season of opportunity. You can have it if you want. And you'll notice down verse 9 confirms this doctrine of the Amplified. Go thy way, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Well, we find in Revelation that Christ takes the book and unseals the book. He's found worthy. That's what's happening today. But it doesn't get dumped on you. That's one of the things of the end time. It comes as you pray. The spirit of wisdom and revelation is available to the church, but in order to get it in fulfillment and in action, you have to be matching that with this tremendous prayer. Not a token prayer, not a churchy prayer, but prayer becomes a way of life where you're really getting down and putting the pressure on God. And I've heard this preached against. I've heard people say, oh, if I pray once, then pray again, that's lack of faith. They don't know anything about prayer, I'll tell you that. They are ignorant of the principles of prayer. Or people say, well, God doesn't want us hollering at him. They are ignorant of the principles of prayer. You get what you want. God's a busy person. He's got a lot of pressure on him. And a squeaky wheel gets the oil, believe me. The parables teach that. When you're down there and you're muscling in on God in prayer, things are beginning to move that will not move arbitrarily. They will not move. It's a season of opportunity. And if you don't take it, you won't get it. You simply will not get it. Praise the Lord. Now, we find in Leviticus, again, you have the same thought. Oh, I tell you, if there's anything more fun to do than prayer, I don't know what it is. I kid you not. You could go window shopping. You can, you know what, needless pain we bear because we go around gumming things through and worrying about them because we're too busy to pray. And in Leviticus chapter 23, it says in verse 4, "These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons." See how God moves in terms of seasons. You have to know the season. We say, how do I know the season? Well, let me explain once, at the best of my limited understanding, how it works for me at least. As you begin to pray, or you have to go through a whole lot of things that come into your head like it isn't God's will and this and that and the other thing, and you really don't want that and everything. Boy, that's for the boys. When you begin to grow, you learn to wait past that and you just keep on hammering. You just keep on hammering until these thoughts begin to subside. Because the devil, you know, the demons all go crazy when you start to pray. And all this stuff's going through your head, see. And then, alright, let's say you're off in God's intention. Okay, as you begin to pray, I guess when you first start, you just put your head down, you know, see. But as you learn how to pray in prevailing prayer, you learn to be sensitive to what's going on, and you keep your spirit sweet. You don't get into this, I gotta have it. I gotta have it. Now, a certain amount of that is good. I gotta have it. That'll go so far. But you've probably seen people try to get the baptism that way, and you usually don't. And you don't get healed that way. The Bible in Ephesians 4 says, pray in the Spirit. In Ephesians 6 says, pray in the Spirit. And you've got, and that doesn't mean praying in tongues. We use that to mean praying in tongues. That isn't what it's talking about at all. It means that you learn to take up your parable. You learn to take up a parable of prayer. As you become more experienced in prayer, you don't pray blindly. You may start off that way. You may start off with just an ache or a thirst or a feeling like you're trying to pick up one corner of the Empire State Building or something. And sometimes I make you sick and gloomy, and you wonder, what in the world is wrong with me? There's nothing physically wrong, I just feel rotten. Many times that's a burden of prayer. God's trying to get you to the place where you will pray. Stan knows what I'm talking about. All right, well, as you begin to get into this, you kind of take up your parable. You begin to learn how to pray, and you begin to move in the Spirit. And if you're going wrong, God will begin to kind of steer you around until you really find the desire. The desire is there. The right desire is there in your heart. But many times it's loaded over with ignorance or fear or duty or responsibility or a whole bunch of stuff. Sometimes people have laid stuff on you that you're carrying around, this burden. You haven't even thought it through. It's in your subconscious and all kinds of things. And God is interested in all these duties and stuff. He's interested in what He's put in there. And sometimes that's buried so deep because we're so busy in the world that we just bear it out subconsciously. We never do bring it to the light because there's no time to pray. And see, as you begin to move in the realm of prayer, you begin to learn to watch for the honey. You begin to watch for the spot where God is going. See, that's how you can tell. That's why I learned some years ago, God is not interested in particularly in us imitating the book of Acts. He's not even interested in us imitating Martin Luther or even imitating Pentecost or even imitating the charismatic move. God has something fresh for today. Something brand new. And as we begin to pray and we don't have our brain all clouded with what God's got, you've got to work this way because it went that way before. or somebody told me how to work that way. See, but as you keep yourself fluid, God, then the creative life of God begins to flow, and you begin to, man, you know, then the time's up and you've got to work or something. You can't wait till the next day because you're beginning to move into the realm of vision and revelation. And God wakes you up at night and shows you stuff. And then, boy, you're trying to pick up the Empire State Building, and all of a sudden you're through and you begin to sing. And that's the way you go. That's how you move in ministry. That's, see, the parable that we read about this guy in the beginning about waking up somebody that's asleep is a parable of ministry. A friend of mine has come, see, and he has a need. He needs bread. Well, you've got the bread, but you see, the response you get is, don't bother me. See, well, the boys at that point go home and say, well, I'm tired anyway, and it isn't God's will. You forget it. You'll never get the Holy Spirit or a gift of healing or anything that you want because God doesn't function that way. You have to get down there and begin to make such a commotion that God begins to reveal to you what His will is. His will is always present. Is always His will. God has a will for this church. It may or may not be realized. It will be realized if enough people pray. Oh, you say, oh, if God wants it, it'll happen. Forget it. God does not work that way. He works. If you go into the revivals of history, you will find out, if you poke around enough in the research, you'll find out there was people praying. They don't just come. The season is there. The season is here for America. The season is here for glory. The season is here of world revival, but it will only come to people who pray. It will not come any other way. Now, you may not believe that, but it is true. If you don't match the opportunity with real strong prayer, nothing will materialize, and you look forward to a golden day, but it will never come. You'll die of old age. And that will be it. Muttering in your beard like a senior, your mind half gone, and you say, I thought it would come. It will not come. I'm getting older. I've seen people that I've known grow old, good Christians, and die. It never came. They died just like anybody else in a nursing home, not thinking clearly, all kinds of problems. Christians. The golden age doesn't come, but the opportunity was there. But you see, it wasn't matched with the kind of prayer that moves the hand of God. Okay? And you can't force God's will by prayer. God will speak to you and say, enough of that, see? And he's like, he says to Moses, don't ask me anymore, see? So you don't have to worry about that. As you begin to pray in the Spirit, you begin to say, you don't have to worry about God's going to give you something you're not supposed to. God sees your heart, and if your heart is right, and you're not trying to prove something, but you really want God's will, He's not going to give you something bad. He says, will He give you a serpent? You know, you're praying for the Holy Spirit, God's going to give you a snake? You love your children, you wouldn't do it. What? And here we are, evil. What do you think, God's going to give you something evil when you're on your face seeking Him? You see how a material culture militates against the kingdom of God by not allowing the time and strength to pray. It isn't that God doesn't want us to have things. It's simply a case of displacement. See, there isn't enough time and strength for everything. You have to set your priorities. Praise the Lord. Well, all right. Now, we find a very interesting scenario in Kings. 1 Kings chapter 18. We find Elijah it's verse 42. So whole 1 Kings 18, verse 42. But let me read you an antecedent to this in James. Lest you think, wow, God would never do anything like this to me. Let me read you the antecedent of this in the book of James in the 5th chapter. Elijah James 5:17, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. In other words, he did not come down from God out of heaven. He was not an angel. He lost his temper, used to scream at the kids. He was a man of like passions. Okay? You know, Elijah was no saint on wheels. He was a man of like passions, Harvey, just like you and me. And he prayed how? Earnestly. Now, what does that mean to you? He didn't get down and say, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray thee, Lord, my soul to take. That's a good prayer, but our prayer should not be limited to this. Praise the Lord. He got down, oh God, don't let it rain. Oh man, this guy was a traitor to his country, I'll tell you. But he's offered to us as an example of what prayer will do. And we see this in the two witnesses, that the people in the end time revival and the latter rain pray these times of prayer. Why would anybody pray such grief on people in agricultural society? Pray no rain. You're praying death. You're praying death to man and beast. And famine, by those people, the famines that came on them because of Elijah's prayer. The Bible is not a cute little recipe for how to lose weight and jog. This is not that. He prayed earnestly, oh God, don't let it rain. Oh God, don't let it rain. Don't let it rain. Well, now you know that if that was not God's will, it would not have come to pass. But you see, God had put that prayer in Elijah. See? It was a prayer of judgment. Now, you notice it didn't pray for 3.5 years. See, that's the time that the two witnesses minister. See? 3.5 years. It's a typical thing of the revival of the end time. And God someday may put that in your heart. If you're a person of prayer, if you're not, he will not do that because it's a waste of time. He's got to have people that know how to respond to the revelation. And Elijah was a man of God. So God put that prayer in his heart. The only real prayers there are come from God. But you say, well, I wait till God gives me one. You'll never know. You'll never know when it comes. You have to do your part. So you have to enter into that milieu. God uses people that are available. See, I being in the way, the Lord led me. If you're not in the way, the Lord won't lead you. He's not just going to come and say, I'm sorry to interrupt you at this time. He comes to people who are looking, watching, ready. They're carrier wave. They never let the crystal go cold. The carrier wave is always working. And God puts a signal on it when he wants to. He doesn't want to have to come and heat up all the tubes, unlock the station, get all the stuff out, blow dust off the crystal to get a signal out. He wants that carrier going day and night, 24 hours. And then when he's got a signal, it's easy to superimpose it on that carrier wave and shoot it out. The radio's always got to be humming, in other words. You don't turn it off and let all the tubes get cold. Amen? Oh, there's people out there after all. All right, now we come to the place where we are in 1 Kings, and it says in James, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now let's see how Elijah prayed. Verse 42, Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel to pray. That's the way. The king of Israel goes up to eat and drink, but the prophet goes up to pray. God grant that we'll never be kings of Israel. All right. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth. That's a way to pray. Walk or cast yourself down or do something. You can't kneel down, you know, with your hands folded and, oh, dear Lord, grant unto me and all this stuff. Cast yourself down in your face on the rug. Do something. Huh? Dramatic. Let God know something's about to happen. I'm going to pray around here. Out loud, the top of your lungs. Ordinarily. I don't know how people pray quietly. I don't see how they do it. How in the world do you concentrate? I go to sleep in 5 minutes. I pray with quietly. Get down. You've got to yell. So else, how do you know what you're praying about? He cast himself down on the earth. He did something. And he put his face between his knees. Now, there's a trick for it. I don't know how he did that, but somehow he managed that. Cast himself on the earth and then put his head between his knees. Somebody ought to do that in church sometime. We'd know that the prayer is going on there. And he said to his servant, go up now and look toward the sea. You say, well, he should have known everything. We don't know anything. You pray till you get the answer. Till something happens. You didn't say a little prayer and then get up and go and say, I have faith. He says, pray. Now, go look around. See if anything's materializing around here. Prayer's a real thing. There ought to be some kind of answer, some kind of a thing going on. If you don't get it the first time, pray again. If you don't get it the next time, pray again. How often should I pray? Pray till you get it. That's how often you pray. You say it's not God's will. Oh, baloney. How do you know? Does God tell you it isn't His will? Paul prayed about his affliction. He prayed until God talked to him. If it's not God's will, He'll talk to you. No, we pray till we get tired of praying and we're bored. And anyway, we have to watch 11 o'clock news. We have not, James says. James 4, verse 2. We have not because we ask not. We don't mean business. And he said, anyway, that says there's nothing. Seven times he did this. He prayed till something happened. He said, behold, there arise a little cloud on the sea like a man's hand. And he knew that was the Lord. There was something substantive, objective. God had showed him, I'm sure, in a dream or something. He says, when you see that little cloud, that's it. And pray till you see it. He just hung in there. You know, while I was meditating on this subject the last couple of days, the Lord was laying this on my heart, I think. A remarkable verse came to me. It's in... I don't know, I have it. Mark 14:36. And savor this. I'm telling you, this is one to savor. It gives you more insight into Jesus' attitude toward prayer than anything you ever want to hear. Mark 14:36. This will give you, this stunned me. I thought of that. The Lord, I think, dropped this little thing in my heart. And I savored that thing. I'm still savoring it. Mark 14:36. Now here's the Lord. Here is the waterfall of the ages, someone called it. The greatest point in history, the time when the Son of God is going to offer His life. It's all been prepared through the prophets. Jesus came to do this very thing. The fate of you and me and the rest of the world hung upon it and everything. And Jesus got down and He felt the pain of it. And look what He said. Abba Father, short A, Abba Father, all things are possible unto Thee. Take this cup from Me. Do you see what is being said there? In other words, He was saying, God, You are so great that You could save the world in some other way, and I won't have to drink it. We take far too much for granted. And what Jesus is saying here is, I'm taking nothing for granted. You're so great that You could even save them, and I won't have to drink the cup. Now, He did have to drink the cup, because it's God's will plus prayer that does it. But see, Jesus let this idea out many times. One fellow says, can you do anything for Me? And what did he say? If you have faith, all things are possible. And again, he says, with God, all things are possible. And he kept on saying that. He had this attitude. And here he is right down to the climax of history. Oh, God, all things are possible for You. Take this cup from Me. You can do it without this. It's possible unto you. But see, it wasn't God's will. But see, many times we don't pray because we feel, oh, that's not God's will. And all we do is talk ourselves out of it. It was God's will. What we mean is, I don't see in my feeble brain how You could do that, so it must not be Your will. And thereby we miss many wonderful opportunities because we look around, we weigh the possibilities, and we figure, that's not possible. That's it's never been like that. Never will be like that. It's not possible. It's not God's will. And we have not because we ask not. We have, all of us, we have a puny brain, and I put myself in the lead. We can't get it through our heads, the magnitude of God, because we haven't seen it. Now, if we'd have lived in the days of the early latter rain, or been in Indonesia during the revival, so yes, we'd have faith for raising the dead, but you see, we haven't seen that. And also, there's a kind of, I think, I've had this experience of praying for people of different races. And I'm going to tell you, it's one thing to pray for an American, and it's another thing to pray for a person not in this country. Now, I know that's a terrible thing to say, but I have noticed that over and over and over. You go to another, people of another race, and it's almost like God is just ready to bless them. And that's why people will come to this country that have worked miracles overseas, and they're coming, they can't heal the cold. I've seen that. I saw this big African preacher come, a man of a tremendous church. I think his name, you'd remember, he said, I have a huge ministry in Africa. I heard him preach up in L.A. He could get going because God is not blessing us. And it's because we have turned away from God. We have made education our God. And if God ever sends you to another nation and you begin to pray for the sick and things, you'll see the difference immediately. They get the baptism. They get saved. It just seems like God's just waiting. Have you probably noticed that in Mexico? And you come back in here and it's not the same. There's a thing riding on American people. It really is. Our nation is under a judgment of God. And the only way you can break that is through prayer. Somebody in this nation will have to pray through. Someone was saying down in where is it, Brazil or Argentina or something? Somebody had prayed through. Two of these countries are contiguous. And in fact, on one street, one side of the street is one country and one side of the street is the other. Which was the two countries? And which one have they prayed through for, Uruguay or Brazil? And then they prayed through for Uruguay, and if you're on the Uruguayan side of the street, you can get saved, and if you're over on the other, they can. They saw that demonstrated, where a person was on the Argentine side, or Brazil side, and they ministered to him. They wouldn't even listen to him. And they watched this person. They walked over across the street. They went over on that side, and the person heard them and received the Lord. Now, you wouldn't believe that, but that is the way God works. That someone had prayed through for the country of Uruguay and would work there, but they had not prayed through for Brazil, so it would not work. And I say, no such thing. And absolutely, I've seen it over and over. There's a difference in praying for people, especially for minority race or anything like that. You pray for it, it's just God's blessing is there. You go praying for Americans, it is not the same. You're kind of butting up against something. And we have a judgment riding on us because of our pride. It's because of our pride. Absolutely. And the only thing that can break that thing is prayer. When you go to pray for it, you feel like you're lifting the Empire State Building. And it's stressful on your physical frame. It's stressful on you. This kind of prayer is stressful. You can't get it the first time. It becomes a part of you. And you're in that travail all the time. Lord, lift this, lift this, lift this, lift this, lift this. I remember one time Brother Fullerton prayed through for San Diego. He was under, oh, what a burden he was under. And one morning he came to the breakfast table, he was sitting there eating, and all of a sudden he yells at the top of his lungs, scared everybody half to death, you know, all the cereal thrown up in the air and everything. He had just prayed through for San Diego. But he was groaning and moaning and weeping around all the time around there, trying to get the victory. Well, people who are experienced in prayer know what I'm talking about. This is how you move the hand of God. You've got to have that season when God wants to move, and then you have to have people that are meeting God, and you say, well, this is nuts. Because if it's His will, why doesn't He do it? He won't do it. You read back about, God says about the trumpet. He said, when you get in a battle and your enemy is coming against you, blow the trumpet and I will remember you. Which is ridiculous. God calls him out, calls him in a battle and everything. And here God's over there. He's playing a few tunes on his hi-fi and everything. And then, blah, he's talking about, oh, yes, I remember now. Oh, yes, there's a battle going on. That's what it says. That's what it says. You blow the trumpet and I'll remember. That's why people say, you don't have to yell, God isn't deaf. Well, how come you say blow the trumpet? He didn't say, play on your violin, and I'll remember you. Huh? He did with your harmonica. He said, the loudest instrument there is, blow the trumpet in my ear, and I will remember, and I'll come down and save you from your enemies. That's what the scripture says. And that's why the battles go big. And God's people, I don't know if it's the Lord's will. It's the Lord's will. Maybe he doesn't want us to have revival here. After all, there's no revival. It's not time for revival. And anyway, the people are all backslidden. Anyway, I'm hungry. I've got to go home. Don't raise your voice, because God can hear. He's not deaf. Well, put yourself in God's place. God will say, well, ho-hum, time to go to bed, boys. You know? But someone's on here saying, God, you got to move. Lord, move. What is that commotion down there? That's right. That's how it works. That's how it works. He says, it's stupid. No, it's not. It's scriptural. And nothing scriptural is stupid. Now, another angle on this thing. Well, you know, it says the fields are white on the harvest. And then the zealous say, go! But the Bible says, pray. Now, zeal will accomplish good things. It says, be zealously always effective in a good thing. It's a good thing to be zealous. But you can get off as much as you get on. But God can use zeal. But prayer is the way it goes. The apostle said, we must give ourselves to prayer. And to the ministry of the word. Prayer is the way it goes. And you know, how many know it's easier to work than it is to pray? See, you heard the opposite. You know, anybody can pray, they're all praying. Why are they busy here? Work! It's easy to work. Easy to work. But praying is very difficult. That's right. For most of us, I think that's true. All right, now, another angle on this thing is in Matthew 14. And this is when you get into the realms of prayer, this is a good one to remember. This is a good principle to remember. Matthew 14, verse 28. Now notice this principle here. Now, Jesus was walking on the water. And the disciples were in the boat, and they were afraid, because here comes a man walking on the water. And Jesus said, cheer up, it's I. Isn't it interesting how many times Jesus frightened people when he came? And in verse 28, now here, notice Peter's prayer. Now, Peter was asking for a miracle. He was asking, the other people didn't even care. They didn't even think it was possible. To give Peter this, if there was some mischief you could get into, he got into it. Peter prayed, and notice his prayer. If it be you, command me to come. He didn't get out of the on the water and say, I speak the word of faith, water be solid. He didn't do that. He asked the Lord to command him. He did not get up and start walking. He said, Lord, you asked me to come. And that's a wonderful principle of prayer. You don't get out and do something reckless and say God's going to do it because it's in the Bible or because whatever. You say, let's say, for example, that you want to pray for the sick or you want to go as a missionary or whatever it is that you want to do. You say, Lord, command me to do it. You just don't do it or pray and do it. You say, Lord, command me to do it. And Jesus answered that prayer, and he said, come. And so when he got off the boat, he was able to walk on the water. Boy, is that an important lesson. You don't just jump out of the boat by faith. You wait until the Lord answers your prayer. You want to go as a missionary? Pray. Say, Lord, call me as a missionary. Make the way go, Lord, and wait for his voice. The world's going to hell, we got to go. Well, you can go over the seas and learn the same lessons. Or you can learn them here. It doesn't matter. God will use our zeal, but we get a lot of knocks that maybe we could have avoided. The thing to do is to ask God. Now, with some, don't ask, and others, go. So we have confusion on both ends. Praise the Lord. You follow me? The thing to do is to ask if you want to go as a missionary to some country. It's on your heart. Say, God, send me to this country. And then don't put feet on your prayers. He didn't put pontoons on his feet. He waited till the Lord spoke to him. You say, well, the Lord will never speak to me. Why not? If he can't speak to you here to go, how's he going to speak to you when you're over there? I mean, leave us be sensible. People say, boy, when I get over there, I'm going to work miracles. Well, from what I said, you might think it's possible, and maybe it is. But it's a bum way to do. Figure, I can't do it here, but I can do it there. Because many of the problems will be the same. Say, Lord, if you want me to go. No, I don't even put it that way. Pray, be a little bolder than that. Say, Lord, I want to go. This is what I want to do, Lord. But in you, as you're leading. This is what's on my heart to do. And who knows? A lot of things are God's will. And then, of course, Peter took his eyes off the Lord, realized what he was doing, and began to sing. But he said, Lord, save me. That's a good prayer. And the man got to walk on the water because of his chutzpah. Because he was brassy. Because he had a little something on the ball. Here's a chance to walk on the water. The other people didn't get to walk in the water. See, the opportunity was there. They could have had a square dance on the water. They could have danced the horror on the water. The opportunity was there. You know, y'all come. But you see, Jesus didn't tell them that. But it was there. One guy took advantage of it, and he prayed, bid me come. He wasn't presumptuous. He just saw it. This is an opportunity to walk on the water. He was spiritually alive. And he got to walk on the water. Not God's will that I have any gifts or anything. Look at 1 Corinthians 12. How many know that this is the day of gifts? The prophets are saying that. God's restoring to his church. We are in a season of opportunity for gifts. And look what it says in 1 Corinthians 12, 31. The word there in the Greek is very interesting. The King James says, covet earnestly. Well, you can covet, then you can covet earnestly. Now, they say the best gifts. Well, I don't know what they are, so I won't covet anything. Let God worry about what they can. Just say, God, I'm coveting the best gifts. Or pick out one. Say, this is the best one as far as I'm concerned. Do something. It makes no theological sense to walk on the water, but he got to do it. And who knows what God would do for you? Now, the Greek word is zelote, which is, it means covet zealously or with a very fervent longing. Now I ask you, how much time during the last week have you spent coveting a gift? With any kind of zeal. Now, let me tell you something. You can gauge a man's heart by his speech. You listen to a man very long and you'll find where his heart is. You'll find what he is coveting. See? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Someone, was it in this church, gave me a funny turn on that. A couple weeks ago, we were speaking about Dr. Ritchie's book where the people, after they died, were chained to the consequences of their acts. Like the suicide had to trail around behind people that he had offended by his suicide and keep apologizing. And other people were locked in bars and things and couldn't drink. They were chained to their deeds when they died. There's nothing in the Bible against that. Our mythologies against, but not the Bible. This is what Ritchie saw in vision. And you know, this someone suggested to me, maybe that's what it means where it says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be. In other words, when you die. See, this Bible is silent on what happens when you die. See? And here your heart, these people, their heart were, they were just spending their time trying to get a drink or trying to possess someone so that they could drink through this person and possess him. And then other suicides that just had to walk around. A boy was going and say, I'm sorry, Ma, because she was in bed, invalid because of his suicide. And that was, and Jesus told Dr. Richie, said, the suicide is chained to his act after he dies. Talk about hell. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You listen to people talk. You'll find out right away where their heart is. It's this, that, and the other. That's why we don't covet gifts, because we're coveting other things. Well, when we want a house or a car or something else, man, we make a brilliant example of what it means to covet something, but not the gifts of the Spirit, because the prayer isn't that much joy yet. The joy is in the world. And then again, in 1 Corinthians 14, follow after charity or love and desire spiritual gifts. Well, there's nothing in there about God's will. Maybe it's not God's will. You don't approach it that way. As Paul says, covet them fervently. Fervently. God, this is what I want, Lord. I'm not sure I can make it through the day if I don't get this gift. That's what it means to covet something earnestly. Whether it's a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a car or a house or a job or money. I've got to have this. This is what I really want. That's what it means. The commandment is. See, so it's nothing about... So, it's back to our parable that we started with in Luke 11. You can see in here the insensitivity. The guy didn't sit down, bite his fingernails, and say, I wonder if this guy will give us any bread. Or, I wonder if it's too late at night. When you begin to, that's Luke 11, when you begin to covet something earnestly, verse 5 of Luke 11, you don't go through these things. You don't get stuff in life by being faint-hearted. You don't get stuff that way. If you notice, the things which you really want, you go after. And the things which you thought it might be a good idea, a dog barks and it's not God's will because it's too noisy around here. But when you want it bad enough, and sometimes God has to bring us nearly to the grave or a loved one to the grave before we'll start praying. And when you want something bad enough, if your child is ill or something else, you're in no mood to play around with little things that would put you off. You go through it and say, I'm sorry, I don't have time for that. We have a problem around here. That's how you get something from God. Not say, I don't think it's God's will, or maybe this, or maybe the next thing. And look at this guy. Which of you shall have a friend and shall say unto him at midnight, a friend, lend me 3 loaves. A friend of mine is in his journey, he's come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut. See, that will dissuade you unless you are desperate. If you think, I kind of like, maybe I'd like the gift of healing. I think maybe a nice idea. You forget it. Forget it. You have to go after the things of God. May God tell you it's not His will. Be a big surprise to me if He does. All right. And he from within say, don't bother me. The door is shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give it to you. Now, Jesus made this parable up here. And that's pretty heavy there. God said to you, I'm in bed with my kids. It's shut. It's over. Forget. You're not getting any bread tonight. I say to you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend. Moses was the friend of God. Abraham was the friend of God. God spoke at times as though Noah, Abraham, and Job stood before me. My heart couldn't be toward this people. God is moved by his friends. He says, though he's his friend, he won't do it. But because of his insistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open. But before it's opened, every conceivable doubt and reason why it cannot be will assail you from stem to stern. And if you can be talked out of it, there's experts in the virtual realm ready to do it. You've got to the place where you're shameless. Just shameless. Bold as brass. And just stupid enough to persevere in the face of the impossible. And that's what makes an opportunity turn into a fulfillment
and an action in the kingdom. We have not because we ask not. Praise the Lord. A little balance to God's sovereignty. Praise your name. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, how we love, Lord, to call upon your name. How we love, Lord, to envision your mighty working and to call mightily upon your name, Lord, to see what you will do, Lord, in response to our cry, our zealous prayer. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, Lord. Now I want each one of us to tell the Lord right now something that you want above everything else. Praise the Lord. You tell God right now what you want. Tell Him what you want. And you tell Him that from this point on, that you are just going to put the pressure on, and you are just going to insist, moving by His Spirit, sensitive to His will, not blind and bullheaded, but nevertheless muscling right on through in prayer until you get all that you need. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just name it right now to Him and just tell God from now on you're blowing the trumpet and you are not going to cease until you get what you need. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name. 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 Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, we come to you in this hour of opportunity, Lord. Probably the greatest in the history of the world, Lord. How much has already gone by, we don't know, Lord. Help us to rise to the occasion. Oh, God, until we are praying day and night and night and day and day and night and night and day. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Take from us all lesser things, oh, God. Move these things from our hearts and our lives that are not of you. Put the fire on them, Lord. They're not worth our attention. Hallelujah. They are a distraction to the kingdom of God. Take from us these things, Lord, which rob us of time and energy and strength as we spend valuable time, Lord, on that which is not thy best, O God. Move us into the realm of prayer, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Move us into the realm of vision, O God, and of the gifts of the Spirit. Move us, Lord, till we're able to pray by the hour without noticing the time. Move us, Lord, and give us a sense that with God all things are possible. Abba, Father, with thee all things are possible. Oh, thou art a wonderful God. Thou art a wonderful God. Lord, we believe you tonight, Lord, for the word of God going to every nation. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We believe you, Lord, that this church to be full of the gifts of the Spirit. We believe you, Lord, that you have in mind to give this church the gifts of the Spirit, provided we pray for them, Lord. Provided we wrestle with God. Provided we ask and seek and knock and ask and seek and knock and ask and seek and knock endlessly, 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 and insist until you move, Lord, in the day of the latter rain. Cause us to ask and ask and ask for the latter rain. Seek and seek and seek for the will of God. Knock and knock and knock and knock and knock till the door is open. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Put on this church a spirit of prevailing prayer. Oh, God, we need prayer warriors. Lord, we need people that know how to pray. We need people that love to pray. We need people that have time to pray. We have people that believe in prayer. We need people that have faith in prayer. We need people that will obey you in prayer. Oh, God, until we meet this opportunity in which we are living. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, take from us these things which are less than your glory. Take from us these things of covetousness, of materialism. Take from us the reasonings of men. Take from us these things which have caused America to be hard to minister to. Take from us these things, O God, that have caused our spirits to be unbelieving and dead in our materialistic thinking, our reasoning, our scientific training. God, in thy mercy, deliver us. Jesus, until we can see the spiritual things by which the material were made and realize, Lord, that heaven is full of gifts and treasures waiting for those who will insist upon receiving them. Breathe faith into us, O Lord, this night. Breathe the spirit of importunity into us. Breathe the spirit of prevailing prayer into us. Breathe the spirit of insistence into us, O God. Awaken us unto prayer, O God. Give us that desire to pray, O Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, we tell you of the things that we need. We tell you of the things that we want. We tell you of the things, Lord, that we envision for the world. We tell you of the things we envision for this church. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Put that burden upon us now, Lord. Put it upon us, Lord, so that we pray going to sleep. Wake up praying. Pray through the day Monday. Go to bed praying. Wake up praying. Pray on the job. Take away from us these things which are detracting, distracting us, O God. They're distracting us, O God. And heaping unbelief upon our spirits. And killing us in materialism. Jesus! 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 Lord, put in us a spirit of prayer. Put in us a spirit of prayer. Put in this church a spirit of prayer. Oh God, we insist upon it. We insist upon it. We have to have it. We won't make any progress without it. The promise will never be realized without it. Oh Jesus, 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 Jesus. Bring the impossible into fruition. Bring the invisible, make it visible. Oh God, do the impossible, we pray. Wake us up to the extent to which we can pray. Put on us the prayer for this 6-year-old girl, Lord. Put on us this prayer for this girl until she speaks that naturally and normally. Father, in the name of Jesus, we know it's your will. 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 Oh God, wake us up. Jesus, don't let us waste time talking about the non-essential, thinking about the non-essential. Bear us down to prayer, Lord. Prayer, 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 prayer. My Lord, I pray you will do something about the television. God, wean us from this thing. God, give us time to pray. Jesus, 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 deliver us from our culture, Lord. Deliver us from our culture. Deliver us from the materialism. Deliver us from it, O God. Deliver us from business as usual. Deliver us from the deadness of the prayerless life. Oh God, give us that spirit of walking with you on the water. Oh Jesus, of the mystery, the beauty, the romance that you have for us, Lord, if we can escape this blight of materialism and enter into the supernatural, into the spiritual realm with thee, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, till we can pray all night and be rested the next day and not known fatigue or hunger by the Spirit of the living God. Move on us, Lord. We have depths of prayer that have not begun to be explored. Hallelujah. Treasures that are waiting for those who care enough to press in. My God, deliver us from the material and give us these things of God that we need, that the world is dying for. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Our nation needs it, Lord. It has been crushed under materialism. Crushed, Lord. Crushed. Crushed, the life crushed out of it. Dying with its commercials. and its materialism and its interest. Dying, 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 dying. Oh, God, take us walking on the water, Lord. Take us walking on the water of the miraculous. Lord, you promised the greater works. Lord, put such a burden on us that we'll pray until we see them in reality. God, help us to ask and ask and ask and ask and ask and ask and ask until we see the cloud the size of a man's hand. Jesus, give us a heart to seek God and not be put off with reasons. With reasons why it cannot be. Reasons why God won't answer. Reasons why we're wasting our time. Reasons. God, smite them in the name of Jesus and deliver us from these lies. Oh, God. God, God, that door, Lord, when it's open, treasures for mankind, treasures for the individual, the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, things we've never seen, things the world has never seen, waiting to be open, waiting for those who will knock and knock and knock and knock and knock and knock and knock. God, God, teach us that parable. Burn it into us. Cause us never to forget it. Jesus, your hand is moved by importunity. Your hand is moved by insistence. It is moved by insistence. Oh God, unto the victors go the spoils. Yes, Lord. You divide the kingdom with the strong. Jesus, Jesus, strengthen us in the most important thing, in prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh God. Oh God. 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 I pray that every person in this church, Lord, the last thing they do tonight will be to pray. Yes, Lord. And no Mickey Mouse prayer either. That they will catch a hold of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Say, Lord, am I prayed through? Am I in your will? Am I prayed through? How long has it been since I've prayed through? How long has it been since I knew God heard me? How long has it been since I touched the hem of his garment? How long has it been since I felt the presence of Jesus? Oh, God, make that real tonight. And through the night seasons, Lord, for those whom it's your will, Lord, awaken them. Awaken them. Give them a vision and a burden. I pray, and they won't worry and go downstairs and eat a big sandwich so they'll sleep. But they'll pray, Lord. And pray and seek your face. Oh, God. Seek your face in the night seasons. Pray for this little Mexican girl until we pray through on this thing, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Pray for more ministries to open in this church. Pray for the ministry of evangelism. Pray for the gifts of healing in this church. Pray for the spirit of discernment. And the first thing Monday morning, Lord, not the news. Not coffee, not the paper, Lord, but prayer. Wake up, God, pray. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Test me with fire. See if I'm walking in the way. Check out my spirit, Lord. Test it all with fire. See if I'm becoming dead in materialism or if I really am serving God. And on the job Monday, Lord, make a time. Bring it to mind. Bring it to mind. Bring it to mind. Commuting back and forth. Gaping at the billboards. Looking at the naked women in the whiskey bottles. Jesus. Jesus. Put a spirit of prayer that will operate in the car. Coming and going. Pray. Pray. Strengthen us in prayer. Strengthen us in prayer. Hours of prayer. Days of prayer. Bring it upon this assembling. Give some in this assembling, I pray, the spirit of intercession. Spirit of intercessory prayer, Lord. It will just grind them right down, Lord, onto the floor. Onto the burden of the Lord. We need, Lord, the spirit of intercessory prayer. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lord, and finally, give each one of your saints, Lord, a vision. Cause them to see the beauty that there is in withdrawing from the world of facts and figures until we pray long enough that you pick us up, Lord, as eagle's wings, till our nerves and our health are renewed and strengthened. Oh, yes, Lord, a day in thy courts is better than 1,000 a vacation. Just a day in your courts, Lord, makes us ready for the battle again. Give your saints, Lord, the vision of the supernatural. Put that touch of heaven and of the supernatural upon us, Lord, till we can't wait for our time to escape to our mountain of prayer and watch to see what you'll answer us, O Lord. Oh, cause your people to know, Lord, the joy that there is in the supernatural. Oh, yes, Lord, so that they will love to pray. It would be the best time of the day to draw aside and to enter into the things of heaven, to walk among those that stand by the throne of God. Hallelujah. Oh, God, as Jesus prayed all night upon the mountain, show us that glory, that supernatural touch, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, to walk on the water with you. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, grant that in this church, Lord, it won't be one or two or five, but the whole church will walk on the water, Lord. Walk on the water in the year of the latter rain. Everyone, grass in the field, bright clouds, bright horizons, the land that is very far off, we see the King in His beauty because we have prayed through, stayed prayed through, prayed through. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. In the Spirit, Lord. In the Spirit. Praise your name. As Elijah did. As Ezekiel did. Oh, hallelujah. As Jesus did. Oh, yes, Lord. Teach us the beauty, the glory, the joy of prayer, Lord. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Avaraka Hashili Arabah. Oh yes, Lord. Oh yes, Lord. Oh yes, Lord. Praise you. Praise you. Praise you. Praise you. Oh glory. Oh glory. Oh glory. It's been a long day and some have to go with their children. Some might want to stay and pray for a while. I know I kind of feel like it, so we won't have a formal dismissal. You just go ahead. I know you're tired. Get your kids. And those that want to just keep on praying, we'll just keep on praying. Praise your name, Lord. Healy arabahaya arabakahasiliya. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Ile arabahai. Ile arabahai arabakahasiki sili arabahai. Oh, God. Oh, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Praise you. Praise you. Holy Spirit, Lord, praise your name. praise your name. Oh God. Ah barakahandala bakahasili. Iki anda. Iki anda. Lord. Lord. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love to seek your face, Lord. We love to seek your face, Lord. Honey in the rock. Honey in the rock. Oh, Jesus. There's honey in the rock. Praise your name. Oh, God. Oh, God. Honey in the rock, Lord. We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. Jesus. 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 Yes, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Lord, we love you. Lord, we reach out to touch your garment, Lord. Oh, we would rather pray, Lord, than eat our daily food. Yes, Lord. Lord, we would rather pray, Lord, than be in your presence. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. How wonderful, Jesus. How wonderful. How wonderful to be in your presence, Lord. To be in your presence, Lord. Oh, to be in the presence of God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. To be in the presence of Jesus. Be in your presence, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, wake in us, Lord. Wake in us, Lord. To meet Thee early and late, Lord, that we might just romance with Thee, Lord, just walk with Thee. Oh, to find You sweet to our souls, Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, Lord. To find You sweet to our souls, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Till every yoke is broken. Till every yoke is broken. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Jesus. Oh, God. Make us a praying people, Lord. Teach us to pray. Strengthen us in prayer. God, hallelujah. That we may know how to pray, Lord. Be strengthened in prayer. Jesus. 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 Barakahandala Bakahasilia. Ikiandaya. Barakahandala Bakahasilia. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, the joy that we have, Lord, in prayer. The joy that we have in prayer, Lord. None other has ever known, Lord, that joy. Oh, yes, Lord. When we walk with Thee, Lord. When we walk with Thee, Lord. And talk with Thee, Lord. Praise You. In the garden with You, Lord. In the garden with You, Lord. In the high places of Zion. Oh, yes, Lord. To leap with Thee upon the tops of the mountains. The dens of leopards, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Lord, to know the joy. Fellowship with Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Ikas iliyarabai. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, so much opportunity, Lord. So much opportunity, Lord. So much opportunity, Lord. For glory. For grace, Lord. So much opportunity, Lord. Lord, waiting for those who care. Waiting for those who care. Yes, Lord. Waiting for those who care enough, Lord. seek thy face. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Teach us, Lord, the romance of prayer, Lord. The romance of prayer, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, to be caught away with Thee, Lord. To be caught away, Lord. Praise Your name. Yes, Lord. In the realm of the supernatural. Oh, hallelujah. Into the prophetic realm. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, that we might know, Lord, that joy. Only those who touch Thee know, Lord. Praise Your name. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord.